This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. It's the offseason. We're still talking about it. There's really no offseason in the NFL, right? Like, it's just different.
There'll be that lull right before training camp. I feel like that's the at least from our perspective, of the least amount to talk about. It's like, all right, now what?
Yeah, really, you talk about, like, okay, I got asked from people, it's like, what do you do after the season ends? And, like, realistically, other than, like, the second half of June, there's always something from the NFL perspective.
It feels like it, right.
It's never, like, done. You know, either you're talking about the draft, you're talking about the combine, you're talking about free agency, you're talking about OTAs, right? You're talking about rookie minicamp. And then, like, once you get done with mandatory minicamp, there's, like, a couple weeks.
Right.
And then the other thing is, like, bye weeks, right? Like, that's why you have to disappear during bye weeks, because that's, like, actually a vacation, or, like, the fourth preseason week. That's one of the few changes the NFL made that I appreciate, is that the off week in between.
No breather.
Yeah, because it kind of lets you reset before the actual season starts. Because, like I said, like, there's really no reset time. Like, we just go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and then all of a sudden it's the next season. But, you know, one thing that, you know, speaking of things we don't get a break from, and I'm Jeff Nowak, he's Steve Geller, is, man, people don't like Derek Carr.
And you got to appreciate him even poking fun of it and acknowledging it with the Saints schedule release.
Yeah, well, yeah, we should mention the Saints schedule release video, because I thought it was fantastic. I think those guys do a great job. I appreciate, you know, like, there are people put out rankings like, oh, who had the best video? And they're never going to be at the top, because I think they want to make it local. They want to make it resonate with Saints fans and Louisiana people. And they're going to put Margaret Orr in there, and someone from Buffalo is going to be like, who the hell is that?
Right.
And someone from New Orleans is going to be like, it's going to be like the Leo meme, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, they had Mickey chewing the gum, right? Like, again, like, people locally are going to be, like, all over that, whereas someone else would be like, what's going on? But, you know, it's funny when you can get, like, I wasn't sure if Mickey was in on that joke or not, genuinely. Like, I wasn't sure if maybe, like,
he had to have heard it afterwards from everybody. Even McAfee talked about it.
Well, right, but, like, I wasn't sure if maybe he didn't you know, he's not on Twitter, he's not seeing a lot of that stuff.
Or is he?
He might be getting told that stuff.
Exactly.
So I wasn't, you don't know. But yeah, he did the whole gum chewing bit in that commercial. But the funniest one was Derek Carr. And here, let me cut that out, and I'll plug it in right here so you can get the picture we're talking about.
What makes you the perfect fit for this role?
I don't know. I feel like people on Twitter just get me.
Yeah. So the people on Twitter, they just get me. and I mean, like, that's the thing. And I do think it's interesting. Like, you're talking about Derek Carr, and there's just this, like, visceral reaction to anything he says, anything he does. There's this huge portion of the fan base that just hates it with a passion. And I'm not sure I get it. Like, I get being frustrated at a quarterback.
Right.
But I don't get, like, this idea that it's, like, all or nothing to shoot him out of a cannon because it didn't go perfectly in year one. And there's a lot to it, but I think Scott Shanley talked to Bobby Hebert on WWL last week, and I thought he broke it down pretty well, and just kind of hit on a few key points that we can kind of discuss after we listen to it. So let's play that right here, and we'll be right back.
But when I look at, don't you think fans are right now like kind of 50-50 on Derek Carr? And I think that's why he cannot afford that he has to get off to a fast start. What I mean by that, okay, this is winning football, what he did to end the season. And if you look at this, the Saints close out the season 4-2. Okay, I'm looking at their schedule. I think the Saints will close out the season very similar this year. Just looking at, I'm thinking like, okay, if you worth your salt, Giants, I don't know, Commanders, Raiders, you got to beat those kind of teams. But I'm looking at the Saints close the season 4-2, and Derek Carr was playing his best football. Now, you got to transfer that now to September, the beginning of the year. Do you know he completed 74.5% of his passes in that stretch in six games that was number one in the NFL? Okay?
Yep.
And if you look at it, he had 15 touchdowns and three interceptions. Well, hell yeah, if he does that, that's going to give us a chance. So just looking, I think this is the season, and you look at Derek Carr and where you're at as a quarterback in your career, that how you finished the season, the last six games, man, that's amongst the best in the whole league. Well, that's what we need come this September from Derek Carr.
Yeah, there's no question. And you know, you said some of the fan base is 50-50. I don't even know if it's that high, and I think it should be. It should be more, because I was just going to rattle off the stats you did. Derek really finished the season great. Now, my thing with Derek is I was excited about the acquisition. I thought he was kind of the missing piece of the puzzle. I thought we'd win the AFC South. He was banged up, didn't play well. I was a little down on some of the leadership things, maybe some of the things he said after the games, as far as taking the responsibility and not. And then he finished the season extremely strong and looked really good and looked like the Derek Carr that everybody kind of thought we were getting. Now, the only thing I ask of the fans is, if you're going to criticize, you got to give him credit. And I don't feel like people gave him enough credit at the end of the year for
Without
the way he
doubt.
Played because there was tons of criticism. I still listen to it now. We draft a guy in the fifth round, and everybody wants him to be the starter. I'm like, listen, there's a reason.
You've heard it. You've heard it.
Yes. I mean, it is so strong that I'm like, okay, maybe if Spence Rattler becomes a starting quarterback for the Saints someday, heck yeah, that's a dynamite pick. It's not going to happen year one. People need to pump their brakes a little bit, because Derek Carr is a really good quarterback. Spencer Rattler's got a long ways to go in terms of becoming a starter in the NFL. But can he do it? I don't know. Time will tell. But I think fans need to realize we have one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Is he Drew Brees? No. Not many guys are going to be Drew Brees. But he is a good enough quarterback to win the NFC South, get in the playoffs. And with this defense, heck, DeMario, Father Time keeps trying to knock at DeMario's door. He doesn't let it happen. He keeps playing this way. And you look at all the defensive backs we have. If we can get the things right in the offensive line, the defensive line, and control line of scrimmage, this team can win the NFC South.
Well, and Scott, again, you know, people expect you to play hurt, especially in football. Basketball, I don't know. I mean, you might play, you might not, whatever. But in football,
you're almost damned if you do, damned if you don't, though.
Yeah, that's right.
because if you look what happened, and that was significant when you look at the game. That's why all the games matter. When you're playing, you know, 16, 17 games, they all count. Because when you look at tiebreakers, for instance, when we're going to play Dallas in week two, you know why that head-to-head's important? I don't think Dallas is going to win the NFC East this year. Or, you know, but the wild card. What are you going to do with the tiebreaker head-to-head? Like what happened with Green Bay last year. Remember towards the latter part, and we're winning 17-3. With 12 minutes left, and we lost that game. Then look, Jordan Love, how he got better. But the reason why I bring that up, part of the turnaround with Derek Carr was because in the back end of the season, his health improved.
Amen.
He had an AC joint sprain that he suffered in week three against the Packers. So and now, are you playing hurt? Oh, like, oh, if you don't play hurt, then you're not tough. And because when you go out there, whether you're 100% or not, you're going to be judged on your play. Right. Not like, oh, well, he's playing hurt. No. Did you win or lose, or what did you do? And so you're kind of behind the eight ball. But you know why I acknowledge, and players, there's nothing wrong with playing hurt. Come on, man. They guaranteed you $100, $150 million. Man, you almost have to have your leg cut off it to not go out there or something.
And again, I think we're all spoiled by we watch Drew Brees. How many times was he injured and he had things wrapped up and he still went out and threw for 300 yards. Everybody just thought, well, that's normal. You can be hurt and still play. Drew did it. Well, again, we got to stop comparing everybody to one of the greatest to ever do it. But when, like, to your point, Derek didn't play well in some of those games, but I've had an AC joint. Those things are not fun, and I wasn't throwing a football. So he went out there, and he tried to do the right thing. He said, you're paying me all this money. I have to be the face of the team. I want to be a leader. I want to be out there in the huddle with my guys. And what you'd like to see in that situation is the rest of the team rally around that guy and say, man, we respect this guy's toughness. And I think that's what Derek was trying to do. And I have a lot of respect for guys that try to do that. And you just have to know as a player, am I helping the team or hurting the team? But I still think even though he was hurt, he was probably still the best option to be out there.
Yeah, so that's Scott Shanley, again, former Saints linebacker, Super Bowl champion. He's now, you know, he works, I don't know what his title is for the team technically, but he does like their post game with Aaron Summers. And, you know, one of the comments I saw on YouTube, and again, I posted this kind of clip on YouTube and it has like 250, 300 comments and people get angry.
And definitely stir up some shit when you mention Derek Carr for Saints fans, for sure. Everyone's got their own take and a lot of it is negative. Most of it is negative.
Well, so the thing to me is it's like, what is he actually saying there? Like, take a step back and think about, like, there's so much angry reaction to that clip. What is he actually saying? He's saying, y'all, it wasn't that bad. Like, it's like, I think you might be being a little unreasonable. That's essentially what you, if you boil it down to one sentence, that's what he's saying. And the reaction is like, how dare you?
Now you're on the shit list too, Scott Shanley.
And someone was like, oh, he's a, I think the abbreviation they used was FOS. And I was like, I'm not sure what that means, but I think it means front office shill would be my guess. Like front office shill. And I get why you'd say that. And we talked about this. Like, he does work for the team to some extent. So he is going to be softer in his takes than some others. But
he did mention, though, Carr deserves some criticism. There was some,
the leadership parts of it. Right,
exactly. How, kind of blowing up on the field, having the tantrum and all. He mentioned all that.
Yeah, and we talked about that too. Like, we had a whole episode where I was like, dude, you need to grow the fuck up and like stop being a bitch on the field. Like, you gotta stop. That's gotta stop, right? And to his credit, that didn't continue, right? Like, you look at the second half of that season. Can you think of moments where, you know, past the Jaguars game and, you know, maybe was there another one? There was the Texans game, there was the Jaguars game where he's going at Chris Olave. I guess week 10, you could say like, oh, maybe he threw angry passes to Mike Thomas early in the game. Mike thinks it was that. But like, I don't think you saw like through the remainder of the season, him kind of losing his, Eric McCoy, the Eric McCoy one, that was Panthers. And yeah, that was a thing. Final month of the season, you didn't really see that. And okay, things were going well for the most part. So yeah, you could say, hey, maybe there were some strides taken there, but like, I don't disagree. There's a lot to criticize from Derek Carr's first season. My issue is that we're not criticizing things that happened. It's get him out of here. He sucks. It's this guy can't win. You can't win with this guy. Does not matter. There's no nuance. There is no contextualizing that a 9-8 season in the NFL is not the worst thing that's ever happened. There's no contextualizing the idea that you were one blown lead that he was, you know, at a hospital for away from being 10-7 and hosting a playoff game. There's no contextualizing that. There's no contextualizing that 3-9-8 teams made the playoffs. Three teams with the same record made the playoffs. The Seahawks made the playoffs. They lost. The Packers made the playoffs. They beat the Cowboys. The Bucks made the playoffs. They beat the Eagles, right? It can't be all or nothing when you're talking about one bounce of a football, right? One missed kick, one ball tipping off a guy's hands. And that's the difference between having a good season or a bad season. You have to be able to look deeper than that. And that's my issue, is it's not about figuring out, okay, what went wrong in the beginning of the season? What went right at the end? And how can you replicate that second part and eliminate that first part. That's not part of the conversation for a lot of people. And I think Bobby said it was like 50-50. And Scott was like, I think it's less than 50-50. And I think he's right. I think it's more like 70-30. Get him the fuck out of here. And I don't know. Like I do think there's a lot more to it than just what's happening on the football field. Like there's so much animosity when it comes to that conversation.
I've heard a lot of people complaining about that he hasn't really endeared himself to the community enough.
I've complained about that. I agree with that.
We mentioned the Mardi Gras, not being around at all, but just more than that, it seems like he's still got more ties out west, and fans don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, I mean, he played for 10 years with the Raiders, so he's right. going to have more connections with that, you know, area, with that fan base, and obviously two different areas, right?
I guess it is.
I think he did talk about the Mardi Gras thing on his Ask Me Anything on Instagram. He mentioned like it was rehab or whatever. I still would say, hey, like, you know,
operate.
Yeah, figure it out. Find a way to be a part of.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah, I'd hope that that's something. And he has talked about that this offseason in terms of like more so the team. And I think that was an issue last year that kind of got swept under the rug that, you know, I think Scott is referencing there in terms of the leadership aspect of like, yeah, you gotta find ways to commit to offseason programs with your teammates. And you've got to find ways to, you know, yeah, I get it. You're moving, you're buying a house, you're relocating. That's tough. And it's something that a lot of people I think don't appreciate in terms of, yeah, when you change teams, you are changing a lot more than just the offense you're in. You're changing, you're literally moving. You're literally uprooting your kids and your wife and all that and bringing them with you in most cases. And there's a lot of stress involved there, right? Especially when you've been with one team for 10 years. Now, some people handle it better than others. I don't know if Derek handled it as well as he could have. It sounds like he's putting an onus on fixing that this year. And he talked about that during the Zurich Classic. Like he was like, hey, anytime someone texts me, like I'm there, right? Like whatever it is, you want to play ping pong, you want to go out, go get pasta, you want to throw, I'm there. And, you know, I think, you know, there was a point last year where Alvin kind of talked about that. And he didn't mention Derek, but I think he was kind of sub commenting Derek in that regard of like, yeah, sometimes you've got to make sacrifices. This is a business. And so we'll see. But again, it's like, my issue is not that people are critical of Derek. They should be critical of Derek. He's getting paid as a star quarterback in the NFL, and he's got to deliver like one.
His salary is also, I feel like, a big deal for whatever reason, because when you look at other, you know, QBs in the NFL, it's really reasonable.
We'll talk about that in a second. But like my issue is not that the conversation is Derek wasn't good enough in year one and he needs to improve here. He needs to improve here. He needs to improve here. My issue is that so many people don't seem interested in that conversation at all. Like and I don't get it. Like it's like you've given up on this next season already. Okay, then what's the point? Then why are we here at all?
He even finished strong, dude. He had 14 touchdowns, 2 picks in the last 6 games. Come on!
But it was all against bad teams. It was all garbage time stats, right?
Garbage time, right? Yeah.
Going to Tampa, the division champion in Week 17, a game that they could have clinched the division at home. And kind of taking them apart, garbage time. The team sucked, right? Division, beating up on the Falcons in week 18. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Garbage time, division. They sucked. Giants had won 3 games before they faced the Saints. Don't, man, it doesn't matter. They sucked. It is what it is. But like, that's what Scott is getting at. It's not like you have to love Derek Carr. Don't. I don't care if you like Derek Carr.
Well, give him credit when he deserves it.
Well, I mean, some, like, think about it in ways that are beyond like, I hate this guy. I'm going to come up with 3 reasons that he shouldn't be the quarterback. And then that's the end of the conversation. I don't know. That's all I want, because otherwise you're just having the same conversation over again. Isn't that boring? Isn't that boring for people? One topic that I'm tired of talking about, and you brought it up, and I feel like I'm on crazy pills, cause I keep saying the same thing over and over again. It's people saying like, oh, no one in the world would have ever paid this guy what the Saints did. And like, I get why you say that. And like, you look at it and say 4 years, 100 and whatever million, like it's just a crazy number that no normal person that is not making that amount of money could ever even comprehend. And I get that, but that'd be true if he was making $3 million a year. But like, what is that even? What does that number even mean? Like, I don't even know how I would live my life if I had that kind of money. But when you look at it in the scope of like someone commented on YouTube and was like, show me one other example of a guy who got paid that much money after 10 years of this and not winning a playoff game and whatever. And so my answer to that was basically like, hey, he is the 15th highest paid starting quarterback in the NFL right now.
Hello.
He's the 15th highest paid starting quarterback in the NFL. There are only two starting quarterbacks in the NFL that are not on a rookie deal, which kind of like you can't compare those because like a lot of these guys will be making more when they sign their second contract. Jordan Love, for example, he's on kind of a, it's not the fifth year option, but it's essentially the fifth year option that they just signed him to kind of a weird extension in advance, but it's still kind of his rookie contract. He's the only one that's kind of weird, but like, yeah, like a lot of guys are making more money than Derek. The only guys who aren't, that are not on a rookie deal, are Baker Mayfield, who's now making $33 million a year annually. Like his contract, like we talked last year about how they barely paid him, but he delivered on this much, right? He's now making $33 million a year. So you can't say that these guys are out of, like Derek's making, I think, 37. Baker's making 33. The other guy, Geno Smith, he's in year 10. So he's making $25 million a year. Those are the two. Those are the two NFL quarterbacks that you would call starters that are making less. And someone's like, well, what about, well, who's making more? Okay, Deshaun Watson is making $46 million a year. He's let's see. I have the numbers here. I'm okay. tired of saying them and just guessing.
It's really absurd though. Like if you really look at it, I mean, what the Saints were trying to do with this team and, you know, continuing on, not going through the rebuild. I don't even know if you want to call it a soft rebuild right now. I don't really feel it's that way. They're just trying to continue on with the team and the talent that they have and felt that Derek Carr could be a plug-and-play guy.
Right, right. Okay, wait, so just to tie that off, Geno is 30-36, 0-1 in the playoffs. Daniel Jones, $40 million. Deshaun Watson, $46 million. This is average annual contract. Deshaun Watson's got like a fully guaranteed contract, guys. Daniel Jones, career record, 22-36-1. He's 1-1 in the playoffs. They made the playoffs 2 years ago. They beat the Vikings. They beat Kirk Cousins, the guy that everyone's like, oh, he certainly should be making $40 million a year. One career playoff win. Lost to Daniel Jones and the Giants after that great season they had. That was a home game for them. They lost. Kirk Cousins won one win in his career in the playoffs. It happened against the Saints. So we can give him that. Deshaun Watson is 66-65 in his career, 1-2 in the playoffs. He's making $46 million a year. So, like, you can argue, yes, that Derek Carr is, they probably overpaid him by a handful of million dollars on that contract. You could probably have, in hindsight, signed him for what the Bucs signed Baker Mayfield, right? And you're looking at 33 instead of 37 million, something in that range. But again, that's right there. I mean, you're talking about, again, the median contract in the NFL in terms of quarterbacks, the middle of the road contract in the NFL. So, I mean, that's how much starting quarterbacks make in the NFL. So it's like, if you want to, and it's not about going back, oh, in 2006, no one was making, it's like, yeah, that's, they didn't make as much money in 2006, but you don't need to go back and look at who's making $150 million. You need to go back and look at who was the 15th highest paid quarterback in 2006. So let's look, let's see if I can find that. Let's see if it goes back that far. Let's see if SpotRack has it. That's usually what I look for salary rankings.
Another thing, obviously, that stood out with, you know, Scott Shanley's comments were the fact that Derek Carr is never going to be Drew Brees, and folks have to live with that.
Yeah, and I think that like a lot of people may not even realize. So there's a couple things. So there's the Derek Carr Drew Brees comparison, and that was never going to work out in Derek's favor. There's also like I think there's still people who are salty about how things went for Jameis Winston, right? And I understand that, but it's not Derek's fault that the team kind of did Jameis dirty in 2022 and never gave him his job back. So you can't hold that against the guy who's here now. All you can ask is that you do it. And so, okay, let's go back. So just to tie off that note on the contracts, we're talking about the 15th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So it's not about who's making what. It's about, okay, who was the 15th highest paid quarterback? 2011, Mark Sanchez. 2012, Aaron Rodgers, which is an interesting one. It might have been, yeah, he had 39 touchdowns, 8 interceptions that year. So that's an interesting one, Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, okay. So some of these years it's going to be, okay, pre-market reset. I'm sure he signed a massive contract after that. The highest paid quarterback in the league at that point, Drew Brees. Peyton Manning, $19.2 million. That was, I guess, another thing I hear is like, oh, they paid Derek Carr what they never paid Drew Brees. That was the year Drew Brees was the top paid quarterback in the NFL. All right, let's move on.
The dollar amounts, like you mentioned, the inflation happens, folks. It's what happened. Dealing with the economy of the NFL or anywhere.
Right. The next season, Aaron Rodgers is the top paid quarterback in the NFL. So it cycles, right?
Yeah.
He's making $22 million, but that's how much it was in 2013. The 15th highest paid, Jay Cutler. He's sensing a trend. Yay. 2014. Aaron Rodgers, still the highest paid, the 15th highest quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. So this must have been right before a Ben Roethlisberger extension. And in 2015, yes, Ben Roethlisberger is up to the third highest paid quarterback. He's making $21.5 million. Alex Smith is the 15th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. 2016, you're talking about Colin freaking Kaepernick is the 15th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. 2017, Tom Brady. He's making $20 million, which is what Drew Brees was making in 2012 as the highest paid quarterback. Tom Brady is now making that as the 15th highest paid quarterback. He's right above Ryan Tannehill. And we know, like, Tom Brady at this time was taking team-friendly deals to help his team field a contract, or to help his team field, you know, a better group around him, right? Now we're up to 2018. Aaron Rodgers is making $33.5 million. The quarterback market has just exploded. And that's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. 15 is Cam Newton, making $20 million a year. And this is way past the, okay, Cam is really kind of a star right now. Going back further, 15th highest paid quarterback in 2019, Nick Foles with the Jags. Okay. So, I mean, we could keep going, but you get the idea. Like, the 15th highest paid quarterback, that's what probably Derek Carr is. He's in that range. So it's not like, that's not the conversation we need to be having. Again, the conversation is what went wrong, what needs to be fixed, and how do you fix it? And I think the team understands that. That's why you changed offensive systems. That's why you fired all these people and brought in Clint Kubiak, brought in a new offensive line coach, brought in a new quarterbacks coach, right? Like, you're trying to make those fixes. But
well, then it goes back to the other problem. Folks also hate the head coach. And wish
I mean, I also think that, yeah, we didn't talk about that, but you're right. Like, a lot of people view Derek as kind of an extension of Dennis Allen. And that, for that reason alone, they will never get on board with Derek. And that I actually can understand a little more. Like, that actually works for me. But I do think there's just a lot of intellectual dishonesty in this argument of, like, I don't like Derek because I have good reasons. And it's not. It's like, you decided that. And it has nothing, like, nothing that happens on the field is going to impact that whatsoever. And that's when I get frustrated. It's that, like, this idea that you're coming at this from a neutral perspective, and you've used that view as how you've gotten to this area of, like, fuck this, fuck him, fuck you too.
Right.
And it's just be honest. Like, you were never going to be on board with this, you know?
And it's like that mob mentality too, where everybody just latches onto it and it festers and grows even more.
There's a groupthink element happening. I agree with that. And again, like, I've been critical of Derek. I think there's a lot of good reasons to be critical of Derek. But it's frustrating to know that so many people are approaching this season as a lost season without it. Like, if you can't be optimistic at this time of year,
you're doomed.
It's not about the team.
Right.
Because they're just doing what they can do and seeing what they can put out there.
Right. This is when hope should be springing eternal for everyone.
Right. and so all that is to say, like, I think, like, you can call Scott a front office shill if you want. I think he's on point with those comments. So we can go from there. But that's it. That's ideally, that's the last time I have to do this rant. I feel like I've done it like three different times.
Oh, it's going to happen in training camp the first day that Spencer Rattler has a 3-touchdown day, and folks are going to be losing their minds.
Well, that's another thing Scott talked about. It's like, hey, I like Spencer Rattler. Well, don't like get me wrong. Like, I'm not, this is not me trashing Spencer Rattler, but, like, you You are so anti-Derek Carr that you've convinced yourself that a fifth-round pick is like the future franchise quarterback without ever seeing him on the field.
Think about that.
You think those two things are unrelated? They're not.
Well, what's crazy, too, is obviously, I mean, Rattler's still a DA guy.
I see. I think people feel like he's a Kubiak guy. like so many people have already gone past the Dennis Allen era, and they're like, I just want him to get fired midseason so they can put Clint Kubiak as the head coach and we can go on from here.
Who even knows if he would end up becoming the head coach of the team?
I mean, nobody. I actually would be surprised if he would.
I would think maybe like a Rizzi even would have a chance.
Yeah. I don't know if I would. I think fans would hate that era too, if I'm being honest. I'm
saying like as the interim head coach till next year kind of thing. If everyone's wishes and hopes and dreams came true and DA got fired midseason this year.
Special teams coaches are actually like low-key really good options to be that interim because they're rarely the guy that gets fired, right? But and they deal with everybody on the team basically. Like everyone has interactions with him, whereas like the offensive coordinator only deals with the offense. So it can be tough to kind of jump in midstream and handle the defense with the way you have to as a head coach, whereas the special, like look at the Panthers last year.
Right.
I can't remember the guy's name, Chris something or other.
Yeah. It escapes me right now too, but he did lose his job eventually.
So you're probably right. If they did fire DA midseason, you probably would put Darren as the interim.
He's got a good tone to him and delivery, so I think he'd be, you know, like hearing him deliver press conferences would be good.
His post game press conferences would be so long, so long. He'd only get asked like five questions, and it would go on for like an hour.
That's enough, right?
But all right, let's wrap up that segment. We're going to come back. We're going to do something quick. We're going to just go over some schedule predictions. You got mine in depth, so I don't need to give you that again. But we're going to talk about Steve's. We're going to talk about Bobby's. And I want to talk about some of the games I'm excited to watch next year. And I'm interested to hear what you think. But all right, this is Inside Black Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. You can follow the show @Saints_pod. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. Otherwise, we'll be right back.